Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who offers his body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion for the forgiveness of your sins. Dear fellow believers in Christ, it took about 3 years for it to be finished. And after it was completed, it became the most famous piece of Christian art throughout the world. And chances are you actually have this painting hanging in your house somewhere, probably right in your dining room. The painting is what we call the Last Supper. And I'm sure you have all seen it. It portrays Jesus in the very center, with six of his disciples to his left and six of his disciples to his right. And with like lifelike expressions on their faces that portrayed different and various emotions, this painting soon became a masterpiece. But did you know that as soon as it was completed in 1498, the painting began to fall apart? You see, Leonardo da Vinci, the man who created the painting The Last Supper, decided to use a different technique for his mural. Instead of using the customary method, which was wet plaster, he decided to use dry plaster. And what worked great artistically did not work well in terms of durability. For as soon as it was finished, the paint began to chip off, and the people ever since then have been trying to restore the painting as well as they can. This painting of the Last Supper, which is so iconic, isn't so lasting. But tonight, as we have gathered together this evening for Maundy Thursday, we celebrate a supper that truly lasts forever. And Maundy Thursday is a very special night of Holy Week, for we transport ourselves back to Jesus with his disciples at the scene of the original Last Supper. But the disciples on that night did not know that they would be partaking in this new meal. For at this time, the disciples and all the Jewish people were celebrating the same thing, the Passover. They were all celebrating the Passover, is what every Jewish person looked forward to celebrate. And even Jesus, even though his mind had to be focused on how he would be betrayed and suffer and die within a day, he too look forward to celebrating the Passover with his disciples. So what was the Passover celebration all like? Well, the people would have heard the same words that we heard this evening from the book of Exodus. They would have been reminded of God's great love for his people and his deliverance from the land of Egypt. They would have remembered how God instituted this Passover meal, and how God told them to take a lamb into their home and then kill that lamb and take that blood and put it over the door frame of their house. So that when the angel of death came through, the angel that was going to take the life of every firstborn in Egypt, that angel of death would have saw the blood on their door frames. And he would pass over them. He would not bring judgment upon them. And then the disciples would have heard how the Lord, the very next day, delivered his people out of Egypt, guiding them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then the disciples would have heard of God's tremendous love and the ultimate deliverance for his people. The Lord departed the Red Sea, with a wall of water to their right and a wall of water to their left. And the Israelites traveled through that Red Sea on dry ground. And then the Lord brought that wall of water crashing down upon their enemies who were pursuing them. The Passover meal for the disciples was for them to cherish the blessings of their past. They cherished how they felt a connection to God. They were His people. And they felt a connection with one another, for they all shared in that same family history. And so this celebration of the Passover is something to look forward to, something that only happened once a year. And you get to cherish in those same blessings of the past as well. You have that connection with God. You are His people. And after Jesus fulfilled the law, He could have done away with the Passover meal and had given us nothing. But instead, He took that Old Testament meal and He instituted the New Testament meal, which we can all partake in. That's why you have that picture on the back of your bulletin, where it shows the lamb being slit and the blood flowing out of Him, which portrays Jesus as the Lamb of God who shed His blood into that cup which we receive. And unlike the Passover, which only happened once a year, you have the blessing of partaking in this Holy Supper on a weekly basis. You cherish the blessings of the past. But you also get to enjoy the blessings of the present with this divine meal. And the disciples enjoyed the blessings of that meal with Jesus on Maundy Thursday. See, for the disciples, they thought it could not get any better, celebrating the Passover. But then Jesus took that special occasion and made it even more special. For Jesus took the unleavened bread, and after He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "This is My body." And then He took the cup, and after He gave thanks, He gave it to them and said, "This is My blood." The disciples could clearly see that what Jesus was talking about was something truly special. And certainly, without a doubt, the disciples would not want that to end. They would have wanted to remain there with Jesus, having this supper that would last. But Jesus did not want it to last. He knew that it could not last. That's why Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine." Jesus was telling His disciples that He had to leave. For if Christ's true body and blood are going to be offered to all people, then that's exactly what had to happen. And so Christ left to literally offer His body on the cross and to shed His blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And that is the blessing that you get to enjoy when you partake of this meal. You receive His body offered to you. You receive His blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. But there is another aspect of Jesus' truthful statement that we want to notice. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." If there were a word for the disciples to lean on, especially on that night when Jesus told them that He would leave them, it was that one little preposition, that one word, "until." It is a word of hope. It is a word of comfort. And so much of that night was focused on the past, on how God delivered Israel from the hands of Egypt. So much of that night was focused on enjoying the blessings that were present there when Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my body, this is my blood." But the emphasis on God's past deliverance and the emphasis on him presently offering his body and blood to his disciples would have meant nothing if there wasn't something to look forward to, if there wasn't anything in the future. And the future is found in that word, until. And it's the same word that you and I lean on as well this night. Soon we will partake in the sacrament of Holy Communion, that same meal that the disciples had. And when we come up to this altar, Jesus encourages us to look back. For when we receive Holy Communion, we are doing this in remembrance of him. We are recalling and proclaiming his death, which he died back when for our sins. But not only does Jesus encourage you to look back, but he also encourages you to look around. Enjoy the great blessing that we have, that unity, that common union that we all share. That's why Paul said this evening, "We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." Certainly is a great blessing of the fellowship of unity that we have. But not only does Jesus tell us to look back and to look around, he also tells us to look in, to examine ourselves according to his law. And when you see your reflection in the mirror of God's law, what do you see? You see how you have not kept God's law perfectly. You have not loved God with all of your heart. You have not loved your neighbor as yourself. And because of that, when we come up to communion, we should be eating and drinking Christ's true body and blood, not to our salvation, but to our condemnation. And that's why when we approach the altar, we come as repentant sinners desiring God's forgiveness, which he will give to us. But above all else, above looking back, looking around, and looking in, Jesus also encourages us to look forward. To look forward to the day when he drinks it anew in the kingdom of God. And I do not mean to downplay the tremendous blessings that we will soon have this evening. I mean, Christ, according to his own words and his promise, is truly present in this meal. He attaches himself in, with, and under these earthly elements. And as we receive his true body and blood, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. And if you're wondering how these earthly elements could possibly do that, remember the words that Jesus speaks to you personally, where he says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Savor the meal that you will receive tonight. Savor it anytime you receive God's sacrament of Holy Communion throughout all of your life. But do so knowing that there is something better waiting for you ahead. For Christ does not give us his body and blood for us simply to remain here to dine at this meal. But he gives us his body and blood as a guarantee reservation that we will have with him in the kingdom of God at that heavenly banquet. And what that heavenly banquet will be like, we really don't know. We don't know what it will look like. We don't know what it will feel like. We don't even know what it will taste like. But it will be new. and it will be better. For unlike right now, where we have to look in and examine ourselves, in heaven we won't have to do that, because we will be confirmed in God's holiness, wearing the white robes of Christ's righteousness, washed in His blood. And we can enjoy that perfect unity with every believer of all time at that heavenly banquet. And even though tonight, where we see Christ through the eyes of faith truly present here, at that heavenly banquet, we will see Christ visibly with our own eyes, face to face. And finally, there won't have to be anything to look forward to. For what is right now in the future tense will become a present reality that is truly breathtaking and will overwhelm us with joy. For it will be a supper that lasts forever with our Savior. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the offering. During the offering, please sign the friendship registers in your pew, and you can also register for communion there as well.